Thank you for tuning in to episode 9. You're about to listen to a live recording from Girls Rock Athens Hip Hop Showcase. Check out this interview as we discuss women in music and sexism.
Educator, therapist, life coach. I enjoy all of the things, but more importantly, I'm a poet, spoken word artist. I've been writing since I was 8. I don't think there was a time I remember that I didn't know that I was in love with hip hop. So I think it was kind of like in 81 when I came out. I think it was just, and you know, anything with hip hop just made me feel good, because for me, being a poet, I realized that it was just that dope music that went along with poetry, and I was writing poetry since I was 8, so if I had to say an age, it may be 8, but I loved everybody, so especially Salt and Pepper was my first big major. You know, those were my big people, because I just thought they were so dope, and there was nothing they couldn't do, and I just thought they were big representing power, strong women, and, you know, and empowerment, and, you know, it was dope. So,
Salt and Pepper, how many of y'all love Salt and Pepper? Woo!
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that have made me.
My name is Cassie Chantel. Y'all can call me Cass.
Yeah!
I appreciate that. I first fell in love with hip hop. Picture this. It was 1998. I was 7 years old. And I was sitting on the floor and I was watching BET. And I saw Brenda Scott Baby. It was like, whoa, this is something new. So I fell in love with hip hop through Tupac. That's my favorite, probably of all time. Tupac's probably still my favorite of all time. So yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Tupac is, man.
Everything.
If y'all were able to experience the Tupac, you had a crush on him, and at times you were scared of him, and at times you was like, but Jesus, you know, we went through different phases with Tupac. All right? So let me ask you this, ladies. So I've been in the hip hop industry since Duck Down Records. I don't know if I put my age out there. Smith & Wesson, Gun Clappers, you know. And when I came in the industry, we had more females. We had Options. We had Salt and Pepper. Remember we had MC Light.
Yo-Yo.
Queen Latifah, do you think that Roxanne Shanté, she was one of the first. Yeah, she was one of the first. So my question to you is, do you think that sexism exists in the music industry, and how has it manifest itself in your opinion? Is it more difficult for a woman to make it? Is there seemingly barriers for a woman to make it? This round we had Nicki Minaj for a long time. We have all the talented artists, but they're not able to get on mainstream. So what do you think is going on there?
I think that sexism is definitely real. I think it definitely still plays a part in everything that goes on. But I think another thing is that we as women start accepting different types of things. We forget as women that we set the standard. So we say that this is not okay, then it's not going to be okay for all of us. But if we say, oh, it's okay, you can call me this. Oh, you don't want me to wear clothes? Cool. I'll dress, you know, scantily, and then, you know, be all cool. If that's the standard that we set, then that is what everyone is going to start submitting to. So I think that we forget our own power and we start thinking that we don't have a say-so in how we really get portrayed. And we really have all the say-so. If you listen to most of the music, men mostly are talking about women in most of their lyrics. So if we have that much power in their lyrics, then we have to realize that and take our power back. And I think that's what happens. We stop giving up and start giving up. We don't have any power, but I definitely think sexism plays a role. I think that the reality is that we're now in a time where women get to be so much more vocal. Many years ago, women didn't feel like they could. You know what I'm saying? Even though we had the era where Queen Latifah, those queens were there, and they were really out prominent, and they were doing their thing, but that, you know, the parents and the grandparents always felt like, you know, we had to hush our voices, and I think that we have to remind ourselves, we ain't got to be quiet about nothing. And with the rise of social media, we can say anything, anywhere, how we want to, where we want to go. But I just think that we have to remind ourselves that the grind has to be strong. Just because they're telling us that we can't do this, it's the only kind of music they want to hear from us, we have to change that scenario by saying, I'm not going to give you that because that's what you're asking me for. I'm going to give you what I want to give you, and you can either take it or you leave it. And if you get to where you don't see any of us around anymore, then you're going to realize that you're going to start taking it more than leave.
Yeah. So. Thank you. Give it up for that one. I'm gonna let Cassie go because she knows all about doing her own thing, and this is what it is. And if you don't like it, then you know. So I'm gonna let her go next, and then still, I just had because she gave us a good point. You know.
That's right.
Well, I agree with a lot of what Celeste said. I think the biggest thing with women is it's not even just. Because you just got to look at the whole of how people view women in general, not just in music, because that's going to carry over into music. So in general, people look at women a certain way, and there are certain things that you can't do as a woman, like you have to act like a lady. And it's just really difficult for women to be vocal because it's a male-dominated industry, so they don't want to be challenged. So anytime they're challenged by anything, it's like, no, like they immediately ruled out. And there's certain things that for a long time that women, that I guess they just didn't want to hear from women in general. I mean, that's really the gist of it. Like you really summed it up since like, that's pretty much it. They don't want women to be vocal. They don't want us to tell our truths because the truth hurts and it makes people uncomfortable. And that's really the main thing. People don't want to step outside their comfort zone. They don't want to be uncomfortable. They don't want to feel like, oh, this woman is just a boss just like I am. Oh, she has just as much money as I do. You know, it's just, and then especially for me, because I'm a different kind of woman because I deal with women too. So it's like, now it's like, oh, so she can take my lady and she makes better music than me. Oh, she got her own business. Oh, shit, I'm mad. For a little bit for the time that she was who she was. So, and when Nicki Minaj first came out, she kind of played around with that community or whatever. So it's difficult to be a woman, but we have our struggles just like everybody else. I mean, everybody's battling something, but we just gotta continue to keep putting in a good fight for us and we're very good for that.
Well, I think sexism does absolutely exists in the hip hop industry, the R&B, just in the industry in general, because we're taught even to our young girls, we're taught to look a certain way, to dress a certain way. And part of that all stems around a predefined image that they want you to have.
That's
in
right.
The industry. Oh, if you don't, if your booty's not big enough, what's it going to be? I'll say booty.
Booty.
We're going to be X, not X-rated, but PG-13. If your booty's not big enough, you got to make it big. Or if you got a fupa, we got to get rid of that. We got to do this, we got to do that. But it takes away from the ultimate goal, which is defining your talent. And that's when that sexism steps in, because now you're thinking, okay, well, do I need to look like that? Or do I need to talk like this? Or do I need to dress like this? And you take all the focus off of the main goal, which is your talent. That's your God-given talent.
All right, give it up. All right, so the next thing, you know, because in hip-hop, I grew up listening to hip-hop, listening to all different kind of lyrics, you know, bees and, you know, different words. And it, derogatory terms are often used towards females in the industry, but it didn't impact me like how media would say that, oh my God, they're speaking of women like that. And I just, you know, how do you feel about the male artists using so much derogatory lyrics in their songs? And sometimes it bothered me because, you know, as a woman, you want to hear rappers uplift, especially other black women, and instead of saying certain things, you want to hear them kind of praise you, but it very rarely happens. And they're encouraging women now to, like, you know, get the fake booty. I just heard Kanye say he took one of his girlfriends to get the 50 pack, the 50 stack. And I'm like, what's that? You know, so my baby's like, he went, and basically what he's saying in the lyrics is that if you get the boobies and you get the X, $50,000. How many girlfriends he done helped upgrade? Oh, dang. How do you think those things are impacting our women?
Well, I think we have to remember one thing. Hurt people. Now, there's a lot of
girls
that are hurt
right
now.
That's right.
And, you know, honestly, it's not an excuse for the things they say, but I think a lot of times hurt people, so they look for guidance for people who may not be the best role models. A lot of the young men that are now artists came up with mentors that didn't have the best experiences with them and themselves. So they can only teach you from their brokenness and wherever they're at. For one, but then I think also a lot of men are very eager to sell. They want to get out of the situation they're in, and they know that being conscious doesn't really pay. So unfortunately, the more conscious artists don't really get that much airtime on the radio. So they kind of think that, I think some of them battle with, do I just do whatever to get this money up, even if it's not really my personality? Because I've got a lot of hip-hop artists that are brothers that are nothing like their stage persona, and you're like, well, who's that guy? Because you're such a gentleman one-on-one, but when I see you on stage and listen to your music, I would think that you're someone else. But I think it goes back to that, and I think that Lauryn Hill said, that she said, if everything was sold, then go. You know, that's how I choose to live, and it's kind of like, I won't be pacified, you know what I'm saying? And if I don't get money from, because I'm not saying what you want me to say or doing what you want me to do, then it's not worth it for me. But I think that's a very scary place for a lot of people to be in, because they're trying to get out of the situation that they're in. And then it goes back to some of them just still hurting, and now I'm looking for something, and so they're spraying that hurt through their lips. But personally, it annoys me, because I want them to be more creative, and I want them to force the standards to change. But everybody has to do something, stand up and do that at the same time, but they're not going to do that. Because again, I think it kind of takes them from getting that money for their family or whatever they're trying to do to change their situation.
And I like to chime in pretty much on what she just said. Unfortunately, in this industry, the edge is what brings the paycheck. And the edgier the lyrics, the more people retweet or reshare on Instagram, he said this or she said that. But at the end of the day, you've got artists like the original rappers, Will Smith in the 90s, that never ever used, you know, any derogatory words towards women. And I think it's just a matter of people piggybacking on, how can I be edgier than the last person? but not realizing, okay, if I saw you on the street and I said this about your mother, your sister, or your daughter, how would you react? You already know what the answer to that is. So I think people are just doing it for the show.
See, this is when people started not liking me for real.
We love you no matter what.
I appreciate this. So I'm a little biased on this subject. I represent duality, so I understand men in a different way. And personally, I feel like it's equal with what men talk about in their music and what women talk about in their music, especially like just real rap, like Trina and Nicki Minaj. Like, I mean, they're male bashing in their music too, and they're also female bashing. And if you listen to male rap, like, they're not talking that great about other men either. They're talking about they're gonna shoot them and they'll rob you. And I mean, it's like none of it's really positive about them, you know? And me personally, dealing with women, sometimes they be bitches and sometimes they be hoes. So I talk about that in my music, but I also, when I have good experiences, I share those. I feel like men, they share their good experiences. And if the majority of the experiences are with these type of women, I mean, we only can talk about what we're actually living. Now, there is like an ignorance out there that, you know, it's unnecessary, it's lazy. Like, they're just, instead of using another word, they just do cuss, like, for no reason. But I do think that it's equal on both, like, playing fields. Like, I just feel like music isn't really that positive because we're venting mostly through our music, and that's not always positive.
All right, so how long you been doing your thing in music?
I've been writing music since I was 7 years old, 27, Kurt Cobain. And I've been recording myself since I was probably 11. And then I came out with my first project at 17.
Oh, wow.
And so it's been going from then. I guess every year I try to drop something, whether it's a full project or a song or something. But I've been recording for a long, long time.
So what's your goal? Is your goal to get a record deal? Is your goal to be an independent artist? And recently I realized that for me, music was like therapy. It was my only way of like writing. If you just write down, because I do music and I haven't been doing it for a while, and I just started feeling like, oh, and I didn't know what it was. And as I started writing, it's like, oh. So it's, for me, it's like I can do music, but it's not about making it. You know, it's not about getting a record deal. For you, if you never get that record deal, where do you see yourself? What do you want to do?
I'm not really concerned about a record deal at this point. My goal is to really just share my story to as many people that I can share it to and make money while doing it and not have to work a 9-to-5. Like, my goal is just to continue to be an entrepreneur in whatever it is. Because I do more than just music. It's beyond the music for me. It's really therapeutic for me. So I hope through my stories and my testimony that I touch somebody. And I know that it's already doing that, and I just want it to continue to grow. Like, and just go beyond the United States with it. Like, I know I'm gonna get deals. Like, when I think of record deal, I might get a distribution deal, like through Atlantic. Like, I wouldn't mind them helping me to spread the message, but I'm not really interested in someone controlling when I come out and how fast that is and all that. I'm beyond that point at this point.
All right, Stella, where do you see yourself? Do you want to be the big superstar on the stage? Or you want to try to make it as that indie artist? What are your future plans?
Well, mostly I've just tried to develop a platform, because R&B has gotten to a point where, you know, years ago you would hear an R&B singer on everybody's hook. Mm-hmm. Now we got rappers doing their own hook, which is perfectly fine, and that's appreciative. But in the same essence, you lose sight of the R&B world. And so I just wanted to be that person to come out and say, hey, we're still here. If you have a voice, don't think that you have to conform into being a rapper. If you're not really a rapper, if you really feel like you're an R&B singer, follow your dream. And at this point, I think in my career, I solely consider myself a songwriter, but you know, I can sing. So I really ultimately like to do more songwriting for other artists, younger girls that want to pursue their dreams as a pop star or country singer. That's really what I want to do.
Okay. So maybe next year you can do a songwriting session with the kids.
Yes. Yeah.
Shout out to my producer, Killer Tracks, in the building. Super producer, Killer Tracks, for your beats.
Thank y'all, man, for all y'all men in here supporting us right now. Thank y'all. We appreciate that, Marco.
That's right.
And my guy, Patrick. King Blanco.
Alright, what about you?
She is like, when I heard Celeste, she reminded me of when I used to turn on Deaf Poetry. And it was the first time I ever seen poetry like that. And it was the Russell Simmons, HBO segment.
Yes.
It was awesome. So when I saw her, I'm like, oh my God, she should be famous. She should be, you know what I mean? And she's so talented, you know? She's written a couple of books. She's an educator. She just recently got promoted.
My sister got promoted. She's boss. She directed something.
You know?
Yeah. But still. You gotta celebrate it. You know? Tell her, where do you want to be in a few years? You know, what are your plans with the poetry and all that?
Thank you so much for your positive energy. You know, for me, really, it's just about continuing to share my poetry in as many places as I can. And I think mainly, more than poetry and anything, I want to spread the message of empowerment. If we can keep lifting each other up, then I'll go wherever I can go to talk about it. I'm not really concerned about getting some major deal that takes me away from being able to be an educator, because special education does rock. therapy rocks. Life coaching rocks. So those are really my heart passions, but I think for me, when it comes to poetry, I just want to be able to go wherever I want to go at any given time and really let my art feed me. And I think that's why a lot of people don't talk about it. We all want to be fed by our art. We want to be able to travel the world and go to Jamaica and do a show and be fully compensated. You know what I'm saying? Or go to wherever it is that we want to go to. But I think for me, it's not so much about a deal. It's just about writing more books, you know, being able to spread the message of what I do through books and through writing and through poetry, and, you know, help other writers write more books, help other poets do more poetry, do more spoken word, and just coach people. That's something I just enjoy doing. So,
beautiful, beautiful. So give it up for Celeste, Stella, and Cassie.
Right on.